This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. This year, we have learned so much about how the government's spy agency, the National Security Agency, has been gathering and storing phone records, vacuuming up emails by the billions, listening on foreign leaders' telephone conversations, and watching your web surfing. On Monday, the largest tech companies in the world, including Apple, Microsoft, and Facebook, began a campaign to influence lawmakers to curb the government's power to snoop on us. We're joined by David Green, Senior Attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, to talk about online privacy and the law. Welcome to The Source, David.
Hi, thanks. It's good to be here.
So, David Green, tell me how much, because we hear so much conflicting information about what's being done. Tell me what you think is happening. How much snooping is being done on American citizens by the NSA?
Well, you know, we're learning about more and more of it every day. So as of this moment in time, we know that there's quite a lot of snooping being done by the NSA. But, you know, I think we still only know a fraction of what's actually going on. I mean, we know that the records of every telephone call made to, from, within the United States is being collected by the NSA. We know that they monitor all Internet communication upstream, so they basically, a splitter goes out from Internet service providers, and then, you know, half of the information travels along one path the way it's supposed to, another half goes to the government, so they collect all that. We know that they are you know, following cookie trails Internet services use to keep track of their own consumers. So there's quite a bit that's going on.
So the government is scooping up all of this information. And then they tell us when they do that, they're just holding the information. They're not looking at it. They just want to keep it in case anything ever happens. And then they'll start sifting through it. Now, is that true? Or do you believe that?
Well, I mean, what they're saying is that, you know, obviously at this point they can't deny that they're collecting the information. And indeed, a lot of what we know about their collection is coming from them.
At first they did deny.
Coming from them, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this was secret. I mean, until the Snowden. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know, back in 2006, we had a whistleblower walk into our office who told us about the splitter that was installed in AT&T's downtown San Francisco office.
Now, a splitter, let's talk about that, because we're not all tech-savvy folk.
Oh, yeah. No, and very simply, you know, there, you know, as the Internet traffic went through the AT&T office, there was a splitter where the traffic, you know,
it's like a wire splice, I guess you would just.
Yeah. One half went to where it was supposed to go. But then there was also the exact same information was also going to the NSA. They had a special facility where they were collecting information. And this was not something they were doing just at this particular AT&T facility. They were doing it all over the place. So we knew that was happening. We knew this upstream collection of Internet communication was with the complicity, and whether that was compelled complicity or not, with the complicity of the telecommunication services. We knew that was happening.
Well, there's things that we know, and then things that we know but are being told aren't really there. I mean, didn't we get denials that this was happening?
Yeah, so we got denials. They're collecting information. We got denials then that they were collecting. You know, first, the initial denials were we only collect international stuff. We're only collecting foreign communications, not domestic. We're not looking at any domestic telephone stuff. James Clapper, the head of the DNI, specifically said, no, only incidentally collecting Americans' communications data. And we know that's just false. They're collecting everything. So, and you can go and catalog all these different things where the government says they're not doing something, and then we find out that they were.
So they also told us, and this is from President Obama, that they're not monitoring our web use. And haven't we seen that there have been times where they have come to folks and said, we know what you're looking at, and that's a problem?
Yeah, I mean, and we have to – I want to distinguish between two concepts here. One is the idea of targeted investigations. Where the government believes that somebody is doing something wrong and then uses legal processes to be able to monitor that person's communications. It's something that's very targeted to someone who is suspected of criminal activity or suspected of being a terrorist. That's one thing, and I think that raises very different issues, and there's ways set up in the law where governments can do that. What the other thing we're talking about, though, is this mass collection where they're just collecting all the information, whether or not anyone is suspected of doing anything wrong at all, and they collect the information. They say, well, it's okay for us to collect all this information, all your telephone records, all of your internet traffic, all of your email communications, as long as we don't look at it until, you know, we think someone you know might have done something wrong. And so I do think that's an important distinction to make.
Yeah, but there's the secret courts, like FISA courts, that they're supposed to go to get permission to do these investigations. And we don't know everything we want to know about these courts, but what we're finding out is that they're not advocates for public privacy, it seems like.
Well, it's a very one-sided process, this Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. According to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, this is the court that the government must go to get these types of investigative techniques approved. But it doesn't function like a regular court. I mean, it's staffed with the same judges who sit on the federal trial courts. But there's no opposing side. And again, these are secret proceedings. We don't know that they're happening. They don't generally release their opinions unless it's up to them whether they even release their opinions or not. We're lately starting to see more of them come out. But I think what's really important is that there's no opposing side. I mean, usually our judicial system is characterized by advocates on either side.
It's an adversarial system.
Yes.
I have one person arguing for and another person arguing against. There's no person in there arguing that my privacy is important.
Absolutely not. That is absent. And there are many efforts to reform the FISA courts. And one of the big ones is put an advocate in there. Allow someone to argue for the rights of the people whose privacy is being violated.
Now, the NSA, they're being created, and they're told they're supposed to keep America safe. Could we weaken their ability to keep America safe if we start advocating more and more for our privacy?
Well, they're saying that. They're saying that these are necessary and important techniques that are needed to fight terrorism. And again, we're at a disadvantage because they have all the information, but when they've been asked to prove this, and I guess this just happened earlier today, where the head of the NSA, General Keith Alexander, was testifying before the Senate, that they haven't really been able to show substantial use of this information.
All right, David Green, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to continue talking about government spying on you and me and why they're doing it and what can be done. We got tech companies trying to rein them in. Why are they doing that? And are their conditions reasonable? We're going to continue. We want to hear from our callers. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me is David Green. He is the lead counsel for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We're talking about online privacy. On Monday, a coalition of the largest U.S. internet companies, names that you're familiar with, Microsoft, Facebook, American Online, launched a campaign to pressure the federal government to reform its surveillance programs. They're concerned that they're going to lose a lot of business, billions of dollars, because foreign-owned companies are going to take their business elsewhere because, as they say, if it violates the privacy of their customers, and it erodes Americans' business competitive edge. So is there awakening up going on, David Green?
Well, it was a great development that the tech companies came out and called for limiting the government's authority to collect their users' information. And you know, some of these companies had been very active and had been doing things to protect their users' information. They've been trying to encrypt all their communications, links, and everything. And others hadn't been as good. So it's nice to see them really stepping forward here.
Yeah, because it seems like some of them were complicit in handing over our privacy to the government whenever they came a call, and even without subpoenas or court documents.
Well, I don't know with these tech companies. Certainly the telecoms, you know, AT&T and Verizon, and those folks seem to have put up very little resistance. Again, if they put up resistance, it was secret and we don't know about it. These companies, many of these companies have actually had good records of trying to, to the extent they could, trying to resist government requests for information. I think what really motivated this step, though, was the recent disclosures that the NSA had essentially hacked into the links in their communication services, how they transfer data within their own networks, and that they were funneling off information there. I think these companies, they did not realize that they had that vulnerability, and that's really what the main thing this was in response to.
Our phone lines are open. If you feel like your privacy is no longer private, if you're exposed, if it disturbs you, we want to hear about that. If your online activity is, you know, you don't want the government snooping on there, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Or if you're perfectly fine with all this, you think this is what we got to do now in this modern age, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And we're going to get Bob on the air. Bob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. I'm a retired law enforcement officer after 35 years, and I'm kind of astonished by some of the things I'm hearing today about a non-adversarial situation when law enforcement obtains a subpoena or a search warrant. There is never an adversarial situation in court. I'm surprised that the attorney seems to be unaware of that. We go in, we present about 45 type pages to a judge who is neutral, not an advocate of either side, and looks at the information and decides whether or not the warrant should be issued or the subpoena should be issued. A grand jury is another example of a non-adversarial situation. Prosecutor goes in and presents his case to the grand jury, so I'm a little puzzled about that.
Okay, Bob, you bring up a great point. David Green, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I'm happy to respond to it. It is a really good point. First off, let me say that when you do get subpoenas, to some extent don't even require judicial approval before they're issued, but if you get served a subpoena for your information, you do have the right to contest that subpoena in a court, in an adversarial proceeding before it's actually enforced. So we can separate subpoenas out. Now, this FISC, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court procedure, does resemble getting a search warrant. But even when someone gets a search warrant, it's not executed in secret against them. And that it's a very important distinction. And we're also now getting, and again, even if you're okay with the process, you're essentially authorizing a search warrant for the mass collection of information. And that just goes well beyond what would be permitted under the very type of focused search warrants that a judge can issue in a non-adversarial process.
These fishing expeditions, that's what judges typically don't like. They name specifically things in a warrant that they're looking for.
Yeah, and indeed, the part of the Patriot Act, Section 215, which the government says authorizes these types of investigations, does say that they should be able to get no more than you can get with a grand jury subpoena. So it actually does try and create that equivalence. But, you know, we believe that this is actually that you could never get this type of mass collection of information with a grand jury subpoena. It just goes way beyond the standards of relevance that are normally recognized in such situations.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. The number is 614-8980, and Leslie wants to join the conversation. Leslie, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. On the one hand, this makes me feel more naked than if I walk down the street with no clothes on. On the other hand, if this isn't an opening for another McCarthy era, McCarthyistic blacklisting kind of era, I don't know what is. It only takes somebody using his power within government to target other individuals, and I've been so targeted before. It doesn't even require government per se, just individuals abusing their governmental powers.
So you're definitely disturbed by what you're learning about what's happening with the NSA?
Totally. When the general that I served under in the Air Force found connections after I separated from the Air Force to target me in one state or federal office after another, There was nothing except McCarthyistic blacklisting, McCarthy-era stuff to compare it to. And this is wide open for that kind of abuse.
Leslie, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. You bring up some great points. So David Green from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Leslie talks about an instance that happened to her. An individual in a system where there's not a lot of supervision can abuse the system for their own personal vendettas.
It's true, and even in the records that the government has released on its own to show that it is trying to avoid misuses of the information, it has acknowledged that there have been many instances where government employees who had access to this information, who had the proper security clearance, were using it for their own personal purposes. A lot of vindictive, you know, ex-boyfriends and girlfriends looking at the information from ex-relationship partners. And again, it's obviously a bad thing. The government recognizes it's a bad thing, and we believe there are many objections that go well beyond those things happening, but it shows you that it's inevitable that you're going to get when this much information is collected and is available to as many people in the government has access to it, you're inevitably going to get misuses of the information.
So evidently these leaks and this information about being spied on by the government through Apple and Facebook and all this other Google is having an impact in Washington, D.C. We saw that President Obama, during a recent appearance on MSNBC's Hardball, he told Chris Matthews that he is going to call for some reforms of the surveillance powers of the NSA. What did you make of that, David Green?
Well, I mean, again, everything's a nice start. You know, there's lots of things happening in D.C. to reform both the NSA and to amend Section 215 that I think are good starts. But I really like to see some actual action taking place. What we haven't seen is a very straightforward statement that says no bulk collection of American persons' information. There are provisions in the USA Freedom Act, which is a proposal that is out there, authored by Representative Sensenbrenner's office. That comes very close doing that, and we think these things are all very good. But then we have opposing proposals, like Senator Feinstein's FISA Improvements Act, which would directly sanction mass collection of information. And so there's a lot of talk right now, a lot of nice proposals out there, and we need to see some action taken on them.
Back to the phones now. Rafael is on the line. Rafael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. So, go ahead.
All right. So my problem with the government watching basically everything that we do is I believe it's because they don't trust us. And my question is, if they don't trust us, why should we trust them? I mean, it's just building a whole lot of distrust, and ever since Edward Snowden let it out, this distrust is growing. And then you have, every day I'm hearing something about some states making, what if they succeed? I remember Texas wanted to succeed. And, I mean, it's just creating a bigger division within our American community. And then you have those people who say, if you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to fear. But, I mean, what this shows is this abuse, like that one caller said, it was being used against her, you know? I mean, it could be used against us. Like, I'm not saying us, like us, but the American people, the American public. One day, if for whatever reason they're doing something that the government doesn't want, they know everything they've done. They know everything that they have talked to. They're not only going to go after them. They're going to go after their whole contact list. They're going to go down the line.
Okay, Rafael, I think we got your point. Let's see what David Green has to say about those points you bring up. He talks about the ultimate surveillance system. It's a government oppression, inability to strike back at the government when we don't like what they're doing because they know everything we're doing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think even taking a step back from that, you can say this is just not what I envision my democracy being. I don't think my relationship with my government should be that my government knows it has information about everything I do, every person I talk to.
I know. This week we found out about how the NSA is actually playing World of Warcraft to spy on orc killing or warlock spellcasting. I mean, it seems like there's nothing that they're not involved in to try and keep an eyeball on us.
It seems what they're trying to do is to try and capture all communications. And if people are able to communicate through video games, whether it's World of Warcraft or Words with Friends, I mean, anything that has an internal messaging system, the government believes that it needs that information, or it should be able to capture that information.
Okay, let me get one more caller in. Let's get Rick on the line. Rick, welcome to The Source.
Yes, I have a question. I'm just thinking about how, you know, the Americans do want to see the NSA's powers curbed, its scope of its mission, limited, you know, and after 9/11, after Department of Homeland Security, you know, it's this huge, huge branch of the government that we don't know much about. I'm wondering how a president could do it effectively, because it's inevitable that there will be another attack on the United States, whether it be domestic or foreign. It's probably going to happen, and I'm just thinking, like, let's say President Obama did do what these things that we want, like limit the scope of the NSA, change the mission, and let's say what happened in Boston happened. Don't you think that the president or presidents in the future are going to be attacked politically, saying, oh, you're soft on terror, you cut back on these programs that are supposed to protect us? And I kind of see that with Obama. He came in saying that we're going to close Guantanamo.
Okay.
We're going to change the way.
Rick, we're tight on time. Let me get Dave Green to answer that. So security versus freedom.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously it's an important concern for everybody. But when the government has been asked to show that these programs actually help fight terrorism, it hasn't been able to give specific examples of doing so. It has one example where the telephone collection records has helped a gentleman in San Diego who made an $8,000 donation to Al-Shabaab. And currently that's the only example of them finding useful information that's connected to terrorism through this telephone program. So obviously, you know, we don't want to disable the government from being able to fight terrorism, but these programs go well beyond that.
David Green, lead counsel from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, talking about your internet freedom, your right to privacy. Some people say our right to privacy is a thing of the past. We're going to continue. Thank you for joining us, David Green. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
In the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Sergeant Bobby Henline about comedy Wounded Warriors. Stay tuned.